Okay, we're going to continue in the 12th parak of Ksubas that we've been learning, and we'll make a few comments that I consider interesting in the famous sugi of Ashkafta de Rebbe about when Rebbe Yehuda HaNasi died. So let's pick up Kuf Gimel Amr Aleph. The Gemara is, 8 or 10 lines on the bottom. The Gemara says that Rebbe Yehuda died, he asked that there should be a ner yehidzalok b'mkoma, there should be a candle always burning in his place. Apparently by his seat at the Shabbos table, he wanted a candle burning. My time, why? Zakdigma, because Kobe Shimsha have a usala base. Rabbi Yehuda HaNasi would come back home every Friday, Be Shimshi, Rashi comments, is between the Bein HaShemashos, right? It's the time that everybody is busy, everybody is like getting ready for Shabbos, and Rabbi Yehuda HaNasi would come home every Friday, Bein HaShemashos. Hahu Be Shimsha, one Bein HaShemashos, Asoy Shabevta Kakari Abava, a neighbor came and she called out by the door. Amra Amsei Shatiku with the Rebbe Yosef. So Amsei, the Rebbe said, be quiet, don't scream, because the Rebbe is sitting over there, you don't want to disturb him, don't make too much noise. Kevin the Shama Shuvlo Asa. Once Rebbe heard that, he stopped coming. Shalolah Hotzilas al Tzadikim, we were showing him not to be Motzilas on the earlier Tzadikim. So this Gemara is really interesting on a few levels. Rebbe Yehuda HaNasi would come back home every Friday, and there's a candle at his place. Once upon a time, a neighbor comes and knocks on the door, and the maid of Rebbe's house says, hey, be quiet, Rebbe is there. And then Rebbe stopped coming. Why did Rebbe stop coming, Zakli Gemara? Shalolah Hotzi Laz al Tzadikim HaRishonim. Because we don't want to cast aspersions on the earlier Tzadikim. That people would say, oh, Rebbe's the only real Tzadik. He comes back Bein HaShemashos on Friday. No one else is a real Tzadik. So Rebbe's the only real one. I would have said it's something like, the Gemara doesn't say like what this neighbor thought, no? I said the neighbor would be scared to death. Like,
the
maids have thought this is perfectly normal. Rebbe always comes back on Friday. He's there. Be quiet. Rebbe's there. Right? But this is, of course, you know, zombies in the Gemara or whatever we would say. I think zombie is the technical term for like a dead guy who comes back, no? That's the Gemara says.
Ghosts, maybe?
I think ghosts are not dressed normally. Rebbe came back. Look at Rebbe Kiva Agar on the side of the page. Neguya Nashas. Vahaya Nireb Bigde Chamudel Shayalovish B'Shabbos. Rebbe came back and he wore his Shabbos clothing. Upoters Harabim B'Kiddush Hayoyim. Wow. This is already, this is better than the Breslover, no? Rebbe would make Kiddush and he would patter them. V'lokish Ar Mesim Shehim Shachav Shemei Mitzvahs Ki Tzadikim Chayim Upotrim B'Kiddush. Tzadikim B'Misosam Kriyim Chayim. And therefore, Rabbi Yehuda HaNasi would patter everybody with Kiddush. Not like an ordinary mace who's dead and can't patter you. Rabbi Yehuda HaNasi is Tzadik Misasam Kriyim Chayim. He quotes us from the Sefer Chassidim. It's actually in Simon Tav Tav Shin Chav Tes, not Tav Tav Shin Chav Zayin. It's a bit of a mistake in the Reb Kiva Agar. Now, Rabbi Yehuda HaNasi came back. He's wearing Shabbos clothing, not his Tachrichim. Apparently, this could be for one of two reasons. It could be for one of two reasons. The Gemara tells us in Nida that Tachrichim you're allowed to make out of Shatnez. In fact, the Gemara have a question. What's going to happen? They'll come back, and then the mace will be wearing Shatnez, or the live person now who came back will be wearing Shatnez, and that would be Usser. So the Gemara says, Mesim Achavshim and HaMitzvahs, that's not going to be a problem. So one could argue that perhaps Rebbe doesn't wear his Tachrichim, because at the moment he came back, it's usher for him to wear tachrichim, because then he's considered alive. Alternatively, Rebbe Yehuda HaNasi is not wearing tachrichim when he comes back, because he doesn't want to scare the family to death, or he doesn't want to give them sadness. If he shows up and he's wearing like his death, his burial shrouds, everyone's going to be sad, you know, he's dead. And this way he comes back, it's lahavdo, like awake, right? The idea of awake is that you want to show that the person is still literally awake, right? So that could be shot in why he's wearing his live clothing in order to what? In order to not scare people or not to remind them of the sadness. It's Shabbos, you're not supposed to be sad. That could be the pshat. There is a tshuva in Chacham Ovadia Yosef's Yechav Adas Chilek Vav Simen Hei. Apparently there's a Sephardi minhag that some people have that they go to a cemetery, let's say in the yard site, and then they say Kiddush, that they say, excuse me, Kaddish in the cemetery. And you ask them, where's the minyan? They say, what do you mean? Look how many people there here. He's there, he's there. They're all 6 feet under. But there's way more than the minyan. Way more than the minyan of people around. So they say Kaddish, and the mitzdarev, the dead people. They say, what do you mean? Dead people are dead. They can't combine to a minyan. I think that's pretty obvious that you have to be alive to combine to a minyan. So they say, oh, Rebbe Yehuda Hanosi, tzaddikim b'misas and kurin chayim. We're not combining every dead person, only the tzaddikim. No, there's got to be at least ulay yesh, right, 10 tzaddikim b'soy chayir. You know, har hamanuchos, presumably there are 10 tzaddikim. So that's when they combine to say Kaddish. You had a comment, Sammy?
Is it to just have a minyan, or you need to have an answer?
So I think for Kaddish, technically, all you need is just a minyan. Only Chazaras HaShatz, where the Rosh says that if you don't have them answering, it's Karov Lios Birchosov Levatola. It's almost like a Brach Levatola. But Kaddish, technically, you don't have to answer. You need a minyan. So they have a minyan. The guy's saying Kaddish. Great. Amazing. So, Chacham Avadia says, Tzadikim, they're alive. This doesn't sound right, no? This doesn't sound right. Some say that maybe only Rabbi Yehuda HaNosi was considered alive, because Rabbi Yehuda HaNosi was a Gilgal of Yaakov Avinu, and the Gemara Tainus Daf Hey says that the Torah writes Vayigva Vayomos Vayosef HaAmov by the other Avos, but by Yaakov Avinu the Torah only says Vayigva Vayosef HaAmov. It doesn't say Vayomos to tell me that Yaakov Avinu lo meis. And maybe it's only those tzaddikim who have a nitzotzes of the neshama of Yaakov Avinu, they're not dead, but not every tzaddik. Lubavitcher's, by the way, the whole literature about the Rebbe being alive, or a chunk of it, revolves around this issue that maybe every tzaddik is considered still alive, but that's very, very difficult. So Chacham Avad Yosef says, what the heck? How exactly can you tell me that they are... How exactly can you tell me that you can combine dead people for a minyan? That goes against Judaism. I was a prime Rabbi Yehuda HaNasi. So he suggests the Chosek Shuv and the Chassam Sofer and Chelek Vavsim and Tzadichas. But the Chassam Sofer says that at those moments when Rabbi Yehuda HaNasi is back and alive and wearing his suit and tie and his Shabbos hat, so at that time Rabbi Yehuda HaNasi is chayiv in mitzvahs. At that time he is alive. But other times he's dead. So to combine the Mesim who are underground based on Rabbi Yehuda HaNasi, that doesn't work. The only time you have a tzaddik who's considered alive is when the tzaddik actually appears alive. This is a big discussion in the Paiskim. Effectively, what that means is that Rabbi Yehuda HaNasi was like alternating between being alive and being dead, being alive and being dead. The Paiskim discussed Rabbi Chanan Wasserman has an essay about this. What about Rabbi Yehuda HaNasi's wife? Can she marry somebody else? Or not? Apparently she didn't, no, because the husband still come and call him to make kiddush for her. But would she be allowed to marry someone else? Do I assume that there's a din of Mises Habal is a matir? Or do I assume in a case like this that Mises Habal is not a matir per se, but Mises Habal is the pshat that there's no husband, so the marriage dissipates? Do you say Kaddish? You don't say Kaddish. So when he's underground, maybe you say Kaddish. When he's up, you don't say Kaddish.
Every couple months, you have to say Kaddish.
I mean, the whole thing
that
is
combined to 12 months, like the 12 months.
This whole
like if every 2 months he comes out alive, so
right?
Do you split it up? You know, you can be seeing Kaddish for 5 years already. You know.
I mean, these are all questions that we have to think about. The Gemara is saying something that Rabbi Yehuda HaNasi came again. The Gemara doesn't say he made kiddush. It's only the Sefer Hasidim that says he made kiddush. But the Gemara says that there's a candle by his place, and he's coming back. The whole thing requires a lot of explanation. The pashtus is that you can't combine dead people for a minyan. I think we can all agree to that. Stay there? Let's go on. So the Gemara says, Rabbi Yehuda HaNasi, the Gemara at the bottom of the page says, Al taspiduni ba'ayaros, don't give me a hesped in the cities. He only wanted hespedim in the giant kruchim, in the massive, huge towns, not in the smaller cities, because that was more bakovedik. Now, this is a little bit strange. The Gemara says that Rabbi Yehuda HaNasi was a tremendous anof, no? So how come he wants a hesped to kill the mother of all hespedim, as Saddam Hussein would say? How come he wants that? Well, what? So it's, one could say it's out covered at Torah, or you could say, what?
Maybe he's trying to say that he could have lost him, you know? If you have it, if his hesped is in one of these smaller places, it'll be totally dominant. And anyone else who has hesped on the same in the same time frame, it would be totally dwarfed by his husband. But if
it's somewhere else, people, the Gemara says that the people came to hear Rabbi Yehuda Nosi's hesped from all over, no?
Yeah, well, it depends what his opinion, did he know?
And the Gemara's lashon is, Mishum Yekarahu Deka Amar, that he said it out covered. So the Maharsha has a comment over here. Even though Rebbe is the greatest anav, when he's alive, he could be meichel. Once he's dead, you can't be meichel in the kavod haTorah. I think that might be similar to what you were saying, Sammy. Right? Now the kavod haTorah, you can't be meichel. When Rebbe died, anava was ended. Meaning to say, when Rebbe died, they had tremendous hespedim. It's very interesting, by the way, that Anova and Torah are connected completely. No? Moshe Rabbeinu is Anov Miko Adam. Rebbe Yehuda Hanasi is a tremendous Anov. Rebbe Yehuda Hanasi is like Moshe Rabbeinu Lahavdol, but for Torah Shabbal Peh, no? I mean, Torah Shabbal Peh will quote some Moshe Rabbeinu, obviously, but Rabbi Yehuda Nasi is the one who transmitted the Torah Shabbal Peh to us. He's the author of Mishnayos. So the Anov of Rabbi Yehuda Hanasi, I think, is linked to how he was part of the Mesira of Torah. It's very important. Actually, in First Things magazine this month, you guys know First Things? First Things is an awesome journal. It's like a Catholic journal of thought. It used to be Father Richard John Newhouse. He died, and now it's edited by some other dude. But they have a piece about how young scholars should recognize that humility is essential to their future careers. And you shouldn't look for applause, and you shouldn't look for people recognizing what you do. Your job is to be a scholar and to teach. And you know, it was just a moving piece. They have great language in First Things. But we know this. We know from Moshe Rabbeinu, from Yehuda Hanasi, that Anova is essential. Just talking about Rabbi Yehuda Hanasi as the Moser of Torah, in the Gemara on Kuf Dalet Amud Aleph, the Gemara says, B'shas P'tiraso Sherebi, when Rabbi Yehuda Hanasi died, it's like a quarter of the way down, Zakaf Eser Etzba'isav Kalape Maila, he sticks his 10 fingers up to the Shemayim, and he says, Ribono Shel Olam Goloi V'yadu L'fanecha Sheyagati Be'eser Etzba'osai B'Torah. God, you know that I used my 10 fingers, I learned Torah with my 10 fingers. Isn't that a very strange expression? Like, a lamdan uses only 2 fingers, the right thumb and the left thumb, right? How is he using 10 fingers? What's the pshat? Rabbi Yehuda Hanasi using 10 fingers?
Everything he has.
What?
Everything he has.
So you're assuming it's like a metaphor. It's not literal. So Rabbi Yankiv Emden, Tainas, that he thinks Yagati Be'esa Etzba Osai B'Torah is literal. That Rabbi Yehuda Hanasi hat er geschriben dem Mishnayis. He himself wrote it with 10 fingers. It's almost like saying that Reb Chaim Isaac Rudzinski used to write 2 tshuvas at the same time with his right hand. Napoleon also wrote with his... Rav Moshe. I never heard about Rav Moshe. He could write with his left hand and right hand at the same time. That's unbelievable. I can't even think about that idea. It's like too far away from me.
Two different
tshuvas with 2 different hands. That's like... That's just like... That makes me dizzy to think about it. But the fact is, Rabbi Yaakov Emden is saying that that's the pshat in Yagati be'eser etzba'osai b'Torah. I use my 10 fingers to learn Torah that he wrote Mishnayos. Now, is that true, by the way? Did Rabbi Yehuda Hanasi write Mishnayos? Rashi writes in... Literally, did he write it with his 10 fingers? Rabbi Yaakov Emden is saying, Yagati be'eser etzba'osai. My 10 fingers wrote Mishnayos. No? Is that the pshat? Rashi writes in Bokhim Metziah Kuf Gimel that Rabbi Yehuda Hanasi is not the author of Mishnayos. Rabbi Yehuda Hanasi is the redactor of Mishnayos, no? There was a lashon in the Gemara about that he found a Megillas Esarim, a hidden notebook. What the pshat was basically is, you have to remember, there was an isser to write down Torah Shebaal Peh. You can't write it. So, does that mean you can't write it? Lachora doesn't mean that. Everyone wrote. People would take notes, because that helped them remember. The isser to write Torah Shebaal Peh meant that when I would give a shiur, I couldn't have my notes in front of me. But I could have my notes to help me remember. What Rabbi Yehuda HaNasi did, according to Rashi in Bava Metzia, is he went through Eretz Yisrael and he collected notes from all of the Tanoim, and he puts those notes together in Mishnayos. That means that Rabbi Yehuda HaNasi is not the author of Mishnayos. The Lashon of Rabbi Yaakov Emden, of Gadi be'Eretz ve'Oisai b'Torah, that I use my 10 fingers in Torah, and it says, by the way, Rabbi Yehuda HaNasi lo nenesi afilo be'etz be'katana, he didn't get any handoff from the world at all, no? That's also a segula to be successful in Talmud Torah, is to remind your pleasures, no? That we know. But if you assume like Rashi that Rabbi Yehuda HaNasi is not the author of Mishnayos, so I don't know exactly why the Gemara has this expression that he worked with his 10 fingers.
He
that
all the notes in one hand and all the notes in the other.
Maybe. Is that called Yagati? That's called I'm working? Maybe. I don't know. It seems a little bit, as we would say in Yiddish, far-fetched. Okay, let's go on. The Gemara says, "Hahu Yaima." First wide line on Kuf Gimel Mebeis. We're just again making a few ha'aris in the sugya. "Hahu Yoma the Ashgavta de Rebbe." That day when Rabbi Yehuda HaNasi died, "Nafka Bas Kala the Umra." A bas kol came out from Shemayim and declared, "Kol Daheva the Ashgavta de Rebbe." Mizumenhu lechaye oilam haba. Anyone who was there at this great event of Ashgavta de Rebbe, so can get into oilam haba. Hahu kovis. There was a launderer. Koyama va'asik hamei. Every day he came to Rabbi Yehuda HaNasi. Hahu yoma loa. So that day, for whatever the reason, he didn't come. Kevan deshama hachi. He heard that if you're there when Rabbi Yehuda HaNasi died. So you get into Olam Haba, Salik Igra, he goes up to the roof, V'nafala Ara Umis, and he falls down from the roof to the ground, and as we say in French, Il est mort. He died. Yatsa Sabasko Amra, Afahu Koivis, Mizumenhu, Lechaye HaOlam Haba.
He committed suicide.
He committed suicide. Because suicide is painless. No, that's the official words of the MASH theme song, Kayadua. Right? Now, I know weird stuff, for ignition caches. The fact is, Rabbi Yaakov Emden is bothered. Suicide, and you get into Olam Haba, that's a contradiction in terms. What's going on in this Gemara? And obviously this is a very large topic, la halacha, about the status of suicide. There is a tshuva of the Besamim Rosh. The Besamim Rosh is a forgery. No, it was attributed to the Rosh, but we know it was written by a mask. It's a forgery. The Besamim Rosh is a make on suicide in certain cases. The Pashta says it's dead wrong. The Pashta says that suicide is absolutely usur. And the Achasimchen Unafshal Seichem Edge Rosh is like, no hetzer to commit suicide. You're taking your own life. So how does this guy get into Olam Haba? Rabbi Yaakov Emden argues in his notes in the back of the Gemara that maybe he didn't really commit suicide. He just fell off the roof. Okay. That's the Lashon of the Gemara technically. He goes up to the roof, Nafal La'ar, and he fell down. That's saying what?
Why did he go up?
Why did he go up? He went up to cry. I don't know. Yeah.
Why did he get into Olam Haba?
He got into Olam Haba because he had taken care of Rebbe so much in the past, and he was such a good guy. In other words, he should not get into Olam Haba if he committed suicide. If he didn't commit suicide, then he gets into Olam Haba. Alternatively, you could say that maybe this is a type of suicide beheter, no? In Rebbe Yoshev's notes here in the Gemara, for some reason, the Ha'aros of Rebbe Yoshev, he writes that there are times that you're allowed to commit suicide, like Tosis has in Gittin and Daf Nun Gimel or something. There are times that you're allowed to commit suicide in Halacha. Very difficult. Tosfos Lashitosam, like the medieval Ashkenaz Jews, did it to avoid converting to Christianity.
Yeah.
Right? The Pashtus is that that's not permitted. The Pashtus, that's not permitted. You should let him kill you while you kill yourself. It's very difficult, but this whole Rebbe thing is
so
really.
What here says that when it means by Nizum Lachayalamavah, it doesn't mean that you actually go, because everyone's actually going to go.
Tosa says it means so that you got a direct route, though.
You get a direct route, so it could be that this was he who served Rebbe every day, he went to Rebbe every day, he was someone who went there below Yisurim. And suicide didn't impede that.
Okay.
Well, if there's a bakal that says that he goes right to the Haba, wouldn't there be a natural Haba meaning that he wouldn't?
So I mean, I think, well, the Havamina that he wouldn't is because what the Gemara said, since he wasn't present when Rebbe died. Remember, the Baskel came out and said that anyone who's there ba'ashgavta de Rebbe gets into Olam Haba, and this Koveis missed it. This is the one day he didn't show up. So I think that's why the Gemara has it.
Hey. You think the Baskel came out for damage control? Like, oh, people are
going to
commit suicide if we have this previous statement. So
I mean, Adarabba, the Baskel made the likelihood to commit suicide even worse. If I say that the Kovis is going to Olam Haba, that might encourage everyone to jump.
Yeah.
Or the reason why he decided to jump was because he thought that he wasn't getting it to Olam Haba, and he thought
maybe
life isn't worth living, maybe. And so once the Baskel came out and said, no, he gets Olam Haba too, people don't have to worry about the fact that they might have lost.
Possibly. I don't know. Again, we're raising some difficulties in this Gemara. Let's talk weiter. Right where we're up to, Shimon ben Chacham. Right, so Rabbi Yehuda Nasi says that my son Shimon is a Chacham, but Gamliel is going to be the Nasi. So my Ka'amar, the Gemara asks, what was he saying? So Hachi Ka'amar, Afal Pisha Shimon ben Chacham, Gamliel ben Nasi. So the Gemara says, Amar Levi Tzricho LeMeimar. Right, you have to say that. Why do you have to say that? Even though Shimon's a chacham, Gamliel is going to be the nasi. What's the chiddush? Amrim Shimon bar Rebbe tzrich alachol metalach. Right, he's like insulting Levi. Says Levi, do we need you and your limping? Levi, the Gemara says, used to like limp. He hobbled along. So they say, hey Levi, who needs you? So my kashalei. So what exactly was Levi bothered by when he says who needs it? So the Gemara says, "Ah, hakraka amar es hamamlocha nosan yehoram kihu habachar." Right, of course. Right, the pasuk says that the kingdom goes to Yehoram because Yehoram is the bachar. So how come over here it didn't happen? How come Shimon doesn't become the nasi? So the Gemara zakt, "Hahu mamale makom avosav heva, Rebbe Gamliel eino mamale makom avosav heva." The only time that you take over is if you are memali makom avosav, if you could fill in for what your father was. And Gamliel didn't completely fill in. V'rebi my time aved hachi ni de'inu memali makom avosav b'chachma b'yirischeit memali makom avosav heva. How come Rebbe Gamliel, if he's not memali makom avosav, how come he became the nasi? Zok digmar, he was not memali makom avosav b'chachma, but in Yerushamayim he was. Meaning to say that the successor to Rebbe is Rabbi Gamliel. Despite the fact that Rabbi Gamliel is not memale makom avosav b'chachma, but he was memale makom avosav in Yiras Shemayim, and this is paskin in the Rambam in Parak Aleph of Melachim Halacha Zayin. The Rambam writes, "Lo hamalchus bilvad." Not only does a son take over for the kingdom, ela kol hasraros v'chol haminuyim shevi Yisrael. Any position of authority is inherited by the son and the grandson forever. Providing that the son is memale, fills in b'chochma and yira. Haya memale yira, af b'shein memale b'chochma, ma'amidin oso b'mokom aviv u'malamdin oso. But if the son is not memale b'chachma, but he has the Yirah Shamayim, so you can take over, but we have to teach you. Meaning to say that that's why he's understanding our Gemara. Rabbi Gamliel had the Yirah Shamayim. Yirah Shamayim is an absolute prerequisite for Melucha. Right? Rabbi Yehuda HaNasi is handing over his Nesias. Nesias means Melucha. He's handing it over to Rabbi Gamliel because you need Yirah Shamayim. Yirah Shamayim is the Iker. Chachma, you'll get it later. The Rambam adds, Chachma will teach you. B'chol mi she'ein bo yir ha-shamayim, af bi she'chachmasa meruba, ein memanim also, leminoi min ha-minuyim shabi Yisrael. You don't get any position at all if you don't have yir ha-shamayim. That's what the Rambam says. So far, so good. Yeah.
How can the Rambam also guarantee the melucha to the kingdom of David if it seems to go according to
So then, apparently the nevuah was that David's malchus would continue, that there would always be someone who is a Yerei Shamayim. Or it's a contingent type of thing. Should there be a Yerei Shamayim, the Yerusha will continue. It will never stop. That's what happens. Now, the Avnei Nezer in the Tshuva asks Akasha. Over here, our Gemara is saying that to take over, you have to have Yeres Shamayim. That's the absolute requirement. Chachma? Who needs it? Right? We could teach you. The Rambam in Perek Dalav Klei HaMikdash Halacha Chaf. The Rambam writes, when the king or Kayin Gadol or any other appointed position dies, Ma'amidim Tachta Beno Oharoi LeYarsho. Then you appoint the son or someone else who can be Yorish. V'chol HaKodem LaNachala Kodem LeSraros HaMeis. Anyone, whoever is closest in Nachala, gets the position. Vehu sheyiya memalei mekomo bechachma o beyira. End of Rambam. If you have chachma or yira, you can take over. What the heck? No, was that high pitched enough? I mean, what's going on here? Doesn't our Gemara say that you need Yira, not Chachma? Is that what the Rambam Paskin in Hilchos Malachim, Perek Aleph, Halacha Zayin? How come Perek Dalav of Klei HaMikdash, Rambam Paskin in Chachma or Yira? That's not.
Sorry, what's being pointed there in Klei HaMikdash?
So the point is, when a Melech or a Kohen Gadol or any appointed position dies, then the son takes over. So Zok the Avni Nezer. A tremendous yisod, that there's a difference between Yerusha of Malchus and Yerusha of Kohen Gadol. Now the Rambam in Klei HaMikdash speaking about Melech and Kohen Gadol, but his real thrust is on Kohen Gadol. Melech is thrown in. Yerusha for Malchus requires that you are a Yerei Shamayim. Chachma, not necessary. Yerusha for Kohuna Gadola requires one or the other. You have to be a Mamale Makom Avosav to be Yorish. But Malchus requires Yiras Shamayim. Kohen Gadol doesn't. The idea over here is probably as follows. The Chasam Sofer has in the Tshuva, in Chilchos HaMishpat Simin Yud Beis and Yud Gimel, that there are two types of positions in the world. There are positions that we call Srara, positions of authority and leadership. There's a very common conversation with respect to the women's issue today. No? Can the woman be the president of the shul, etc.? Is that a position of serara that the Rambam would say, Melech lo Malka? That's one thing. And then there's another position called Minui Shel Kedusha. A chazan, for example. Is a chazan a position of serara? Is it a leadership position? Or is the appointment of a chazan an appointment of someone who, it's minui shel kedusha, you're appointed to do holy things. But it's not necessarily a leadership position.
What's his authority anyway?
The authority, there's no authority as a chazan per se, but it's a position that is respected. It's a title, not with authority. Right? There are two different... The word serara could mean authority, that I can do stuff. Right? The Nasi can do stuff. The Melech can do stuff. You can kill people. Moira de Malchus, no? But Minui Shel Kedusha is not like that. The Poskim say that the difference between Minui of serara and Shel Kedusha is the difference as to whether we're dealing with regular rules of Yerusha or a different type of din. Let's explain. Yerusha means that when the parent dies, the son inherits the possessions. Yerusha is on the neches, it's on the possession. Do I assume that my position is a different possession and my position gets right transferred to my son, it's like something I own? Or do I assume that it's something I do, not something I own? The nafkamina is, says Rav Zsolti, if it's a neches, if it's a possession, so then you don't need to appoint the son to his father's position. You just take over him automatically. But if it is a minoy shel kedusha, so in those situations, we assume that the son has rights to be appointed to that position, but it doesn't happen automatically. Rav Zsolti's understanding of this Chassam Sofer, this Avnei Nezer, and all the Achrayim who distinguish between Minoy Shel Kedusha and Minoy Shel Serara, is that Minoy Shel Serara, the Yerusha, is because it's a possession. You own it. There's a technical issue that we won't allow the leader of Klal Yisrael to be someone without Yerusha Shemayim. If you don't have Yerusha Shemayim, it's a psul. However, Minoy of Kedusha, it's not that you have to be passeled not to get it. It's not a possession. You have to be ro'oi to get it. How do you prove that you are ro'oi? Oh, either by having Torah or by having Yerusha Shemayim. Either by having Chochma or Yerusha Shemayim. I think that's the way it emerges. These are, of course, big issues in poskim all the time. The Rosh Hashiva dies. Does the son take over? Or do you allow some Talmud to come in? These are big issues in poskim. This comes up right over here. There is another discussion, actually, that I want to focus briefly on two other discussions here. Tosfos Kuf Gimel Mabez Oso Hayom says that when Rabbi Yehuda Hanasi died, but la Kedusha. So the Kedusha is no longer around after Rabbi Yehuda Hanasi died. Tosfos' first daya is that just means Kedusha in the sense of Anova and Yerusha Shemayim, like he was a holy Jew, like we would say a holy Jew is. Reb Chaim Cohen understands Butla Kedusha in a halachic sense, that Kohanim were allowed to be metame to Rabbi Yehuda Hanasi at his funeral. The Kedusha's kahuna was butl. No? Reb Chaim Koyin haya omer o molei hayisik shenifta Rabbeinu Tam hayisim etamilo. It's like Reb Chaim Koyin, had I been there when Rabbeinu Tam died, I would have gone to the Levaya. Because butla kedusha means kedushas kahuna. This is a big question. Do we assume that tzaddikim are metame? No? Can a Koyin go to the Rebbe's grave? I think the practice in certain Chabad circles is that the Kohanim wear a fence around them and they walk through the cemetery. When they get to the Rebbe, they take the fence off because the Rebbe is not Metame. And it's based on the Zohar. The Zohar says that Misa is not Metame, it's Chet that's Metame. And since the Tzaddik is below Chet, so therefore you can be Metame. And there were practices of Jews who went to Kohanim, who went to Kivrei Tzaddikim for many, many generations, but it's the Chora against Judaism. The Gemara in Bava Basra says that Rabbi Bana'a was Mitzayin Ma'arta. Rabbi Bana'a used to mark off the graves so that the Kohanim wouldn't be Mitame. And one of the graves that he was marked off was Ma'aras HaMachpelah. Avram, Yitzchak, and Yaakov are as much of Tzaddikim, I believe, Be'emunah Shalema, as the Lubavitcher Rebbe. There's greater tzaddikim, and yet the Gemara says that you can't be metame, a kohen can't be metame to the avos, no? So this idea, Reb Chaim Cohen is saying a chiddush, right? The chiddush of Reb Chaim Cohen is that, you know what, maybe at the Levaya you could go. And that's a special din, maybe in the covet of the mace for the Levaya, that we allow a kohen to mechalo kedushas kahunasai to go there. Once he's dead, to go to the kever of a tzaddik is l'chora very, very difficult. Everyone talks about it based on this Tosfos, but l'chora Tosfos doesn't mean that. Tosfos probably means that since it's a nasi, and there's a chiyu for a nasi, that everyone should come to his funeral, so that's what Chaim Cohen said, that he would have gone to the Levaya of Rabbi Nutan. Yeah.
Do we believe that there's no such thing as being perfect, meaning like there's always like a little bit of a blemish on a person in terms of a sin?
I think there's a verse in Ecclesiastes, what we call Kohelas. Ki adam ein tzadik ba'aretz asher ya'aseh tov ve'lo yachetam.
Right? So from that passage, you learn that like, even
Tzadikim have a faith on that. Correct. And the Gemara Bava Basra speaks about there is only like seven people who died below Chet Kilav, Yishai Kilav. There's a whole bunch of. It's so difficult.
No, it's everyone else. That means only those seven.
L'chayra, that's what it means. Only
and
those.
Also, Binyamin, what did he do all his life? We have no source
from ever really do anything. We have no source about a lot of these people, what they did in their life.
It's Yoshal Nafash.
It sounds Christian.
Yeah.
Don't know.
So
okay.
So, like, how do you even have this question about whether it was allowed to approach, you know, Mesa Masadik or not? Because we know that they have a little bit of a blemish on them. So
this whole mahalach, you're saying that this entire approach is saying that chait is metame not misa, but and the tzaddik has no chait. It's against the pasuk. That's what you're arguing. I agree with you. If misa is a kapara, so they don't have it. Yeah, I don't know. There, then you can be metame to anybody. Don't know.
When there's a comparison between kibud avayin and kibud of one's rebbe. So, is it possible that someone who's a kohen can be metame for a rebbe if he's that close to him?
Again, Reb Chaim Cohen is saying something about Rebbe Tam, which is also rejected la halacha. No. And as you're arguing that what he meant is that has a din of an av. And the Kohen's been talking to his father. I don't think any of the posts can take a prime Kohen that way. It's a nice suggestion. I don't know. Okay, I want to just talk about the last Gemara, Kuftal Arav, three lines from the top. Or let's start from the top, but the top line, Kuftal Arav. Hahu Yom Adonach Nafshi, the Rebbe, the day Rebbe Yehuda Anossi died, so the Rabbanan made a tainus. And Bo Rachami, they davened, and they said, anyone who says Rebbe Yehuda Anossi died should be stabbed. So Amsa the Rebbe goes up to the roof and she says, "Oh, yoin the mevakshenis Rebbe tachtoim mevakshenis." Right. Basically, there's a fight between the upper worlds and the lower worlds, whether Rebbe Yehuda Anossi should live or die. Right? Yehi ratzon sheyakufu tachtoinim es hayonim. She said, "Let the tachtonim, let the lower world who wants Rebbe Yehuda Anossi to live, let they win." Kevin the chazoi kamazim the aisle base kisei b'cholas tefilov. But when she sees how many times Rabbi Yonasi had like the stomach ailment and he has to constantly go into the bathroom, take off his tefillin, and it's difficult for him, Rashi says it's difficult for him to always have to take off his tefillin, right? Become mitzdar, he's in pain. Amrei, he rotzon she'akufa oyonim es tachtonim. She said, let the oyonim win, let the upper spheres win, let Rabbi die. V'lo v'shaski rabban milaboy rachamei. The rabbis are still davening that Rabbi Yonasi should live, and that's keeping him alive. Shakal Kuza, she takes a jug. Shadya Me'igrala Ara, she throws it from the roof down to the ground. And then it makes a noise. Ishtiku, they stop davening for a minute, and he dies. That's what the Gemara says. The Ran in the Durim uses this Gemara, Daf Mem, as a tremendous yisod of the Ran, that when a person is in a lot of pain, you're allowed to daven for the person to die. No? That's what the Ran says. And even prevent the other people from davening for him to live. That's what she did. That's what the Ran says. Now, this Ran is a Chiddush. The Ran is not quoted in most major poskim, although the Aruch HaShulchan does quote the Ran is not quoted in most major poskim. One could argue that many Rishonim disagree with the Ran. The Ran is based on the Gemara in the Durim. The Gemara in the Durim says, if you're not mevaker chole, it's like you are killing the person, right? Which the Ran understands means that you're not davening for the person, right, to die properly. That's what the Ran says. But the Rush understands the Gemara differently. It could be that the Rush is arguing in the Ran. Could be many Rishonim arguing in the Ran. Right? The Ran's argument is that because you're in physical pain, you're allowed down for a person to die. The pain of Rabbi Yehuda Hanasi, the way Rashi writes it, is the pain to take off tefillin and put tefillin on. It doesn't sound like it was physical pain. It was like a spiritual angst, not physical pain. The Aruch HaShulchan quotes the Ran LaHalacha. Most poskim, or many poskim, don't quote the Ran LaHalacha. And there's a question among contemporary poskim, do we accept this Ran? Are you allowed to daven for someone to die? There are three schools of thought. The Tzitz Eliezer argues never daven for someone to die, because Haraya, Amsa the Rebbe is davening for them to die, but the Chachamim keep on davening for them to live. Meaning they disagreed with her. So maybe pass with the Chachamim, not Amsa the Rebbe. That's what the Tzitz Eliezer says. Other posts can feel that no, you're allowed to daven. You're allowed to daven for a person to die. Reb Chaim Kanievsky passes this way, Chacham Avad Yosef passes this way, that you're allowed to daven for a person to die. Reb Moshe Feinstein has an in-between approach. He says, theoretically, you can daven for a person to die, but today we don't know how to daven well. So therefore, you shouldn't do it. You can only daven for a person to die, says Zakhtar Moshe, after you did all the options and daven for the person to live. This depends on a few different issues. In the book, The Right and the Good, on page Vesef Nishtavaz, I don't remember, but in the book, The Right and the Good, written by a certain Rabbi Daniel Tzvi Feldman, so he has an essay about this, as what this machlekes depends on. This machlekes may depend on whether davening is considered my intervention, whether davening is HaKadosh Baruch Hu intervenes. That's his suggestion. Alternatively, the suggestion might be that the machlokes is about miracles. We don't daven for miracles. In a situation that would take a miracle for the person to live, so then we could daven for the person to die, because that's not miraculous. Alternatively, you could say no. Certain types of things never appear miraculous. When I don't daven for miracles, that means I don't daven for anything that's supernatural. If someone lives, it's never supernatural. They'll just say, oh, some doctor found the cure. Chevra, I thank you for giving me the opportunity to learn some Torah with you this week. I hope you're able to finish this parak. I think it's a very enjoyable parak, and we should have a good Shabbos and the Mir Tzem. Rabbi Feldman will be back next week and he'll teach Torah.
Thank you very much.